Welcome to 30 Minutes on 91.3 KXCI Tucson. I'm Amanda Schager. Today on 30 Minutes, we discuss health equity, and I'm joined in the studio today with Dr. Stephanie Parker of the Aurora Foundation of Southern Arizona. She's also the co-chair of the Health Equity Action Team. Also joined in the studio today with another member of the Health Equity Action Team, Lori Robinson. Let's start off with Dr. Parker and hear a little bit more about health equity.
Thank you, Amanda. It's a pleasure to be here today. April the 10th, this Thursday that's coming up, is an extraordinary event, and it's called a Community Conversation on Health Equity. What this event is about is bringing together citizens of Pima County, residents of Pima County, and leaders from different sectors within Pima County to share and discuss ideas about health equity and how we can achieve that, and to craft actions that we could take to increase health equity and to reduce health disparities for people in Pima County. This event is one of a kind. It's never been done here in Pima County. We're very excited about it. I can give you more information as we go along about who will be on the panel and what kinds of questions they might be dealing with.
And as Stephanie said, this is a great event. It's free to community members, and it will be on Thursday, April 10th from 10 to 12 p.m. at the YWCA, which is at 525 North Bonita Avenue. And again, it's free and open to the public. We hope many of the listeners will consider coming. It's a great opportunity for you to hear more about the concept of health equity, about some of the disparities within Pima County, and also about something called the social determinants of health, which we'll be covering during that forum, and bringing your input into how can we reduce some of these disparities in our community, in the ways we live our lives, and make better opportunities for us all to be healthy across our lifespans. This project really comes out of the Healthy Pima Initiative, which comes out of the work done by the Pima County Health Department, which was tasked with creating a Community Health Improvement Plan, better known as the CHIP. And as part of that plan, Pima County Health Department convened Community Health Action Task Force to look at, identify what were the areas that people wanted to do work on within Pima County to improve health outcomes. And that work was completed with a report that came out last year. You can go to the Pima County Health Department website and get access to that report. But essentially, there were four areas that were identified, and I'm just going to read those as the priorities coming out of that health improvement plan and their brief goals. One was looking at healthy lifestyles, and that is to promote and support healthy lifestyles for all of Pima County residents. It sounds like a very simple goal, but that group has really broken that out into looking at active living, healthy food, looking at issues of behavioral health, services around mental health and depression, anxiety in our community, and looking at issues of violence and trauma and how those affect our ability to live a healthy lifestyle. We have a task force on health literacy, and the goal of that group is to promote health literacy to Pima County residents with an emphasis on populations of need. Now, that term health literacy isn't referring necessarily to people's ability to read and write. It's really people's understanding of health concepts, treatments, and their ability to use that information to improve their own health. And so when we talk about health literacy, many people are not health literate, where they may not understand a medical term or treatment being offered. And what we find in health literacy is most of us don't want to ask questions because we don't want to look dumb. And so health literacy is really talking about improving our knowledge base and our ability to get information around health issues to improve our own health. Another topic area that has a task force is access to care. And that is to improve urban and rural communities' access to medical, behavioral, and specialty health care services throughout Pima County. and to improve our workforce development in the medical, behavioral, and specialty health care fields in Pima County. We've all been involved in the last few months in really trying to enroll as many people as possible in health insurance, and that's a part of access to care. But having health insurance is not all that matters. You also have to have access to health care providers. You have to be able to get there, easy transport. They have to be at hours where you or your family can get to the services. And they need to be provided in a way that you can access them. It might be language. It might be literacy. It could be a number of things that make health care accessible. And the last group is the group that Stephanie I work with is health equity. It was originally called health disparities, and they're linked. And our goal is to address health disparities by promoting a better understanding of community assets or resources, health conditions, and the health status within Pima County. So really looking at data, where do we see disparities? What are some of the solutions that could change those health outcomes for different segments of our society? And really how to engage the community in being educated about that, looking at policy and other interventions that can improve health equity in our community.
Health equity is a very important concept for us to think about and to understand. Kind of two sides to this coin of health equity and then health disparities. When we look at health equity, what that means for many of us is that every person has an opportunity to reach their full health potential regardless of the color of their skin, regardless of the level of education or the job they have, regardless of gender identity or sexual orientation, of the neighborhood they live in, or whether or not they have a disability. It really goes to the heart of the idea of health justice, equity, equality for all in terms of health literacy, access to care, and healthy lifestyles. Our focus in our work as members of the health equity team are to focus on where people live and where people learn and where people work and where people play. In all of these different venues of our daily living, these are the areas in which we look to see where health disparities might lie and where health equity can begin to build. Health disparity has to do with gaps in the quality of health and access to quality health care. There are many different populations or communities, if you will, within Tucson that have these gaps in terms of health care and in terms of access to health care. And this is where the disparity of health comes in this way. The forum that we are sponsoring April 10th, just a few days from now, has a lot to do with, as a community and as citizens within our community, of building a future, strengthening the foundation for health equity among all groups, all communities within Pima County. And to do so, it requires lots of advocates for this. It requires communities, the smaller communities that make up the big community called Pima County, Tucson, to come together, coalitions and partnerships, resources, time, and certainly leadership. The four groups that Lori just mentioned are coalitions of individuals representing a diverse array of organizations within our community. So there's one piece of that building block that's been underway now for several years and bringing more people into the process of participating in Healthy Pima and what that looks like down the road over the next few years. We urge people who have time and can come to our forum on April 10th to do that. As Lori mentioned, it's free and open to the public, beginning at 10 o'clock, the panel from 10 to 12, 9:30 the doors open, beverages and networking and that sort of thing. It's a kind of event, a kind of experience where every voice is heard in that experience and in the conversation. The most important part of our work has to do with bringing those voices together and listening to the voices and their ideas and their thoughts about health equity and reducing health disparities. And that's what's going to make our work even better and more effective.
You're listening to 30 Minutes on 91.3 KXCI Tucson. We just heard from Dr. Stephanie Parker from the Aurora Foundation of Southern Arizona. She's the co-chair of the Health Equity Action Team. Also joined in the studio with Lori Robinson, another member of the Health Equity Action Team. On Thursday, April 10th, a community conversation on health equity takes place at the YWCA, 525 North Bonita Avenue, from 10 a.m. to noon, and the doors open at 9:30 a.m.
This is Lori speaking again, and one of the things that we'll be talking about is a concept that has received a lot of focus probably in the last 10 to 20 years and has been written both into the World Health Organization documents in talking about improving health outcomes across the globe, but also by our own Centers for Disease Control in their documents, both Healthy People 2010 and now our Healthy People 2020, which in many ways is the government blueprint for trying to improve health outcomes in each decade for the United States population. And there was a major emphasis in the 2020 document on something called social determinants of health. And I'd like to just spend a few minutes talking about that, both from the World Health Organization definition and how we're approaching it. Part of our concern in doing the forum is to really educate ourselves and the public about this concept. Many of you have heard, and if I was to ask you, what do you need to do to become healthy? Many of you would talk about exercising, most likely, because there's a lot of research showing that the more we move our bodies, and this doesn't have to be in sports. It can just be getting up and walking during the day or moving your body in some way is very important. And we have a lot of emphasis on healthy nutrition. We know about the impact, or we're learning more about foods and vitamins, minerals, and how they affect us. So most people would answer, those are the things I need to do, as well as stopping smoking, perhaps, or never starting, using substances, alcohol in moderation. And so looking at those, we would talk about, well, this is what I need to do to be healthy. But research is really looking at a huge other issue that has an impact, and that is the social determinants of health. So many of you know that we've mapped the human genome, which means we now have looked at all the genes we have in our human body. And we're now actually mapping or identifying the bacteria and flora and fauna we have in our guts. That's called the Microbiome Project. And there's some really exciting research that actually links to some of the science that's coming out of the social determinants of health. The World Health Organization's defined social determinants of health are the conditions in which people are born, they grow, they live, they work, and they age. These circumstances are shaped by the distribution of money, power, resources at the global, national, and local level. Now, that sounds like a mouthful, but if you think about, we live in community, we're born into families, and we live in a city, a county, a world that affects our health. And many of us have looked at issues around the environment. We know some cancers we're seeing may be impacted by different toxins in our environment. But we also have to look at issues about how we're born. And even before we're born, you look at issues around prenatal care. Which is why we have programs like maternal child health to ensure that mothers are getting early care so that they have the healthiest pregnancy. Because what we know now is many health conditions are really shaped prior to our birth. And they're shaped in the womb, but they're actually shaped by the mother's health. And that mother's health is shaped by her mother and father's health, and prior to her own birth. So a number of health departments in looking at maternal and child health, they've tried to ensure that all women have the supports they need for a healthy pregnancy, and that it's not a matter of money in this country for children to be born healthy and for mothers and fathers to get the support for those healthy pregnancies. But those health departments, in looking at infant mortality numbers and poor birth outcomes, have started to say, we have to go upstream and really look at the health of our young girls and women before they get pregnant, before they even consider pregnancy. And we look at things like their education status. People working with adolescent girls, if you ask them, what are some proxies, if we were to look at data, what would be a data proxy that would help us look at good health outcomes for girls? And the number one things that people working in adolescent girls' health would cite is graduation rates. So if girls graduate from high school, that actually tracks against much better overall health outcomes. So you see less substance abuse, you see less STIs, sexually transmitted infections, you see later onset of pregnancy or planned pregnancy so that babies are healthy, and less substance abuse. But all of that is impacted by a girl's graduation rate. So in looking at a social determinant of health for adolescents and for young women, what we want to do is make sure they graduate from high school. And when we look at why do girls and boys not graduate from high school, we have to look at a number of factors. What's happening in our school systems? What's happening in our families to support the parents and their children to get a good education? Are our children hungry? That's why we have school lunch programs and we have breakfast programs, because we know we have food insecurity. Not everybody has access to high quality or enough food. And we know that children can't learn when they're hungry. So that program, having a food security program, a meal program in our high schools, our elementary schools, is about having a good health outcome by having a good educational outcome. So that's an example of some of the social determinants of health. As part of the Pima County health assessment process that was done in 2011, they polled both community stakeholders, those were representatives of a number of leading community agencies, and community members at large about what were the factors our citizens, our members of our community think create a healthy Pima. And you might think access to health care was right at the top. But the next one in some of them were good jobs and economic security. So if people don't have enough money, they are not going to have a good health outcome. They also looked at issues such as good schools. They looked at having support systems for families, good transportations, access to parks. So health determinants, social determinants of health are really looking at much broader issues than just the medical system and just our personal behaviors and choices around health outcomes. A couple of the areas, I'm going to list some of the areas that come out of the World Health Organization research, which have also been factored into our Centers for Disease Control. And so we're looking at, when they've looked at social stratification, what they found is poor social and economic status affects health across the lifespan, and that people who are in lower classes socially and economically are up to 2 times the risk of serious illness and premature death of people in classes above them. This does not just relate to people at the lowest rung economically. So it's not just the people in severe poverty. It goes across all classes, and you'll see different outcomes. You can research this by looking at a number of reports online. Stress is another area. What we found in the last few years is that our body has the stress response, the fight or flight, and that releases a number of hormones. We need that. We are wired to have some stress in our life. But many situations, whether it's poverty, lack of a job, poor education, being stigmatized. Are you in a class of people that are not really accepted or integrated in your community? This could be based on a number of factors. It could be an age group. It could be a group of racial or ethnic minority. It could be people that are discriminated against around gender or sexual orientation. And so many of these things can cause stress. And what we found is we have stress hormones circulating that are beneficial up to a point, but when they are in our body more than they need to be, we are seeing major inflammation. And we're finding that inflammation is linked from everything to cardiovascular disease, diabetes, obesity, depression, anxiety. And so we really have to look at that. Early life is a social determinant. So what is our foundation for health in supporting mothers and children and having good emotional support systems for them? Social exclusion, and that can be where an individual or a group of people really are not integrated into their society. It could be people who are homeless, who are in absolute poverty, or other groups, as I've talked about. Another social determinant of health, which you probably have thought about, is work. So if you don't have a job, or if you have a particularly stressful job, and much of the research shows stress in the workplace is generated by your sense of control over your work environment. And many of us don't have a lot of control in our work environment, and that is a factor that increases the stress and our inflammatory responses. Unemployment. Obviously, people that do not have access to employment are at risk for psychological stress and major financial insecurity. Social supports. Now, this is a social determinant people don't always think about, but there's a lot of research showing that the more social supports you have, friendships, family, networks, supports good health and actually longevity, apart from other health risk factors you have. Addiction. So we know that people that may have addictions to drugs, alcohol, tobacco, may suffer worse health outcomes. But addiction does not exist in a vacuum. It exists in a context why people may be choosing this as a form of self-medication, as a coping strategy, and how do we look at that issue as a society to reduce the influence of addiction in people's lives. Food. We may say eating a good diet, but if you don't have enough money or access to healthy food or fresh foods, it's very hard to eat healthy. And transportation. And we do have people from transportation involved in our panel because the Pima County is a driving county, but not everyone has a car. Some of you may have been taking buses to work, and if you try to get to your job and to a doctor's appointment and to your child's school or to if you're a caretaker for someone in your family, using a public transportation system adds an extra burden because we are not necessarily equipped adequately to make transportation easy for people. And so that can affect everything for a person, whether they can get access to healthy food or just go to whatever is in their close neighborhood if they have no public transportation or a car accessible.
Thank you, Lori Robinson. She is a member of the Health Equity Action Team. And on Thursday, April 10th, there's going to be a community conversation on health equity. The Healthy Pima Initiative, a community collaborative facilitated by the Pima County Health Department, invites the community to learn more about health equity and how to get involved. That takes place this Thursday, April 10th, from 10 to noon at the YWCA, 525 North Bonita Avenue.
This is Stephanie. I want to revisit some ideas that Lori suggested in her discussion and description of social determinants of health. You know, we all pay the price for poor health in the United States. It's not only the poor, but also the middle class whose health is suffering as well. There's a statistic in the film Unnatural Causes, and the statistic is that we already spend $2 trillion a year to patch up our bodies, more than twice per person than the average rich country spends, and our healthcare system is strained to the breaking point. Health disparities carry a tremendous economic cost in this country to each of us. In 2012, a report came out that was based on research conducted by the Urban League of America, underwritten by the Walgreens This report found that health disparities in the United States resulted in $59.9 billion in increased health care costs, with African Americans bearing most of this cost and Hispanic and Latino groups in the second place in terms of bearing most of these costs. $59.9 billion in health care costs because of the disparities across the country that people experience in attempting to access health care. That's a very powerful statistic and one that we really need to pay attention to. If we reverse that and looked at health equity and built our programs and our services and our policies based on that focus and that vision, it's likely that those figures would drop immensely. Our panelists for this upcoming forum, a community conversation on health equity, are Laura Penny, who's executive director of the Women's Foundation of Southern Arizona. She's going to be presenting information from their latest paper research and paper on poverty, particularly women's poverty, which is one of those strong determinants, social determinants of health. We will also welcome a representative from the Pima County Attorney's Office. A third member of the panel is a third-year medical school resident from University of Arizona College of Medicine. Also, we'll welcome a representative from Casa Maria, Jimmy Ojeda, will be on the panel, and then Supervisor Richard Elias will join us as well.
You've been listening to 30 Minutes on 91.3 KXCI Tucson. Special thanks to our guests, Dr. Stephanie Parker of the Aurora Foundation of Southern Arizona. She's co-chair of the Health Equity Action Team. We also heard from Lori Robinson of the Health Equity Action Team. They're here to talk about a community conversation on health equity taking place Thursday, April 10th, 10 a.m. at the YWCA, 525 North Bonita Avenue. More information is available at healthypima.com. At pima.gov. I'm Amanda Schager.